I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know.
I mean, I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's I've read studies on this. I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
Yeah.
That was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver being interviewed at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference last weekend, and that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by ESPN's Ryan Smith and by Michael Lee of The Athletic. Welcome back to both of you.
Good to be here.
Hey, thanks. I'm always glad to be here.
All right, Michael, what does all of this mean?
Well, you know, fame, celebrity, and more money than ever don't necessarily equate to happiness for some of the game's biggest stars. And in the social media age, you know, fans have access to players in a way they never have. And it's had positive and negative effects on these guys. Recently, Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan both came out about their bouts with depression. And while walking into an arena recently, Kyrie Irving looked at the cameras that were flashing on him and said he can't wait for the day when he doesn't have to deal with that anymore. And Kevin Durant just said that basketball won't fulfill him. And it just seems that we've reached a state for NBA players and probably for society, greater society, where all the work that you put in to be special at your craft, sometimes when you get to the reward, it's not what you expect it to be. And when you're an NBA player and you're scrutinized and you have fans that can criticize and speculate on your future and sort of dehumanize you in some ways, it sort of proves that, you know, the higher up you get, the lonelier you become. So I think these players are sort of dealing with it, even though they're well compensated, better than any other generation of basketball players. But it seems that more money is more problems, the way Biggie told us about 20 years ago.
Well, I'll say this. I separate out a mental health discussion with another very important discussion that kind of got wrapped in two, and this was discussed this week, and that is this. Some of this is the price of engagement. Kyrie Irving is the perfect example. This is Uncle Drew. He made a movie on a character. He has said that back when he was younger, he loved the entertainment side of this. He loved the cameras. And now he doesn't like them. And I think one of the big problems that we're seeing in the NBA is guys want the engagement. They want the adulation. They want the love. But when it turns on them, when people start asking them every day because they don't make the right comments about staying with the team, or like Kyrie Irving started intimating that he might go somewhere else, he becomes the story, and then they don't like it. There needs to be, for some of these guys, I'm not saying it's all their responsibility, but some of it is their responsibility.
You know, I'm not at all surprised that social media is making NBA players sad, because it feels like it's making the rest of us sad, too. Yeah. You know, it doesn't seem to matter if you're a millionaire athlete or a minimum wage person. Social media leaves people to compare their worst days to other people's best days, because nobody shares their worst days on social media. And I think that's just got to be even worse when you are a guy who has worked your entire life to make it to this place, and this place is not as fulfilling as you thought it was going to be. And Ryan, I like that you separate out these two issues, but I also kind of like that this issue does call to the other issue. Like, I love that DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love have talked about their struggles with anxiety and depression. I love that the league and the players' union has a mental health awareness program and that they're encouraging players to use it. I just think this is all great, because kids who love sports and kids who love athletes need to know that you're not always going to be happy, and it's not always going to be great, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I just think it does a great job in allowing us to connect with these guys, because, you know, so many times you see them on the court or in the field and you feel like they're superhuman, or that they're, you know, special, and they are. They've done great things in their field, but they also deal with the same stresses, the same anxieties that we all deal with.
Ryan, you're up.
Mine is about Bryce Harper. Now, full disclosure, I'm a Philadelphia Philly fan. Just going to put it out there.
But Bryce, I live
Harper,
in Philly.
Good man. I knew it. Bryce Harper just recently signed the richest contract in Major League Baseball history, a 13-year, $330 million deal to play for the Philadelphia Phillies. One of the first things he starts talking about is not only how great it's going to be in Philly, but how he's going to help recruit other free agents. And he brings up the name of a guy named Mike Trout. Now, Mike Trout, his contract with Angels is up at the end of the 2020 season. Now, that is a problem. And the reason why is baseball, just like other sports, has anti-tampering rules. And that basically means that players can't go out and publicly recruit other players. The theory behind it is, at least according to the leagues, we don't want players trying to influence the decision of other players. It disrupts the contract rights of the teams that already have them signed. So Major League Baseball started investigating because obviously the Angels were fuming over this. And even after all that, Bryce Harper, when questioned just the other day, he basically said these words: "If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have said it." I love this guy. I mean, forget about the Philly part of it. Baseball, as in many sports, have these tampering rules, and they're antiquated. The idea that guys don't talk to other people to tell them to come play with them is ridiculous. But baseball just doesn't want, owners don't want to feel like their assets, the people that work for them that they consider assets, which is another ridiculous thing, are sort of in jeopardy.
Yeah, I think this is sort of the NBAification of the Major League Baseball, which is something that really needs to happen, because in the NBA, guys openly campaign for each other every chance they get. LeBron James basically said it would be amazing to play with Anthony Davis this year and totally disrupted two franchises because of it.
The entire league.
Yeah, I just feel like it's good for baseball in the sense that it has a topic that people want to talk about. I think baseball does itself a disservice because there are so many great players that aren't stars that people don't know. I mean, Mike Trout could walk into a room with a Mike Trout t-shirt, with Mike Trout hat, and Mike Trout sneakers, and people be like, "Who's that?"
Right.
Because no one knows who he is, and he keeps such a low profile. And I think that Major League Baseball should do more to promote its game. And I love tampering because it keeps names out there that people are going to be wanting to discuss.
I'm with you guys. I know why this rule exists. I know the league wants to protect its owners and their investments. But it's really, as you say, kind of dumb. I mean, when Mike Trout saw the remarks, his response was to say that it sounds like Harper's really excited. He's really excited about his team. And he is excited. Bryce Harper is excited to be a Philly. God knows why.
I knew you were going to say that.
He did say he wants to bring a title to D.C.
that was a mistake.
But no, I mean, isn't that what we want from our players? We want them to be excited to be on a team and not just cashing a paycheck.
And for a league that wants excitement and wants marketability, like Michael said, this is what you want. This gets us talking about baseball, and we can't stop talking about it.
Okay, the annual spectacle that is the NFL Combine led SB Nation to ask prospective NFL defensive backs a very important question. Without safety help, in single coverage, which animal would be the hardest to cover? Hamp Cheevers from Boston College said a squirrel. And we're both in Boston, so I can say from my knowledge of squirrels in Boston, they would, in fact, be really hard to cover. Sean Bunting of Central Michigan suggests an elephant. And I have seen elephants in the wild. They are surprisingly fast and really, really big. And all of this makes for a good few laughs. But my goodness, it's March. March. I want to talk about spring training. I want to be getting ready for March Madness. I do not need this level of detail on the NFL Combine. I mean, if this is the only question you have left to ask, maybe it's time to walk away slowly and go somewhere else. So I have a question in two parts. One, is there any way to dial this all back to some sort of level of sanity? And two, without safety help in single coverage, which animal would be the hardest to cover?
Oh, I love it. Okay, can I take two first?
Sure.
It would be a cheetah. Ooh. Although I still feel like I could cover the cheetah. We have to test that. At some point, I'll send you guys a video. But
first
answer is this. I'll play a little bit of devil's advocate first. This whole thing is supposed to be sort of a demeaning, confusing process to see how guys respond under pressure. So that's the idea behind the craziness of the combine and all these tests that half of which don't translate to anything that deals with football. But I think there has to be a better way because so much of this, I think, is demeaning, humiliating, and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
There are scores of people that have excelled at the combine who have never mounted to a hill of beans on a football field. And vice versa. There's people who've done terrible at the combine who ended up being NFL stars. And guys who didn't even get invited to the combine who ended up being NFL stars, said Julian Edelman. But, you know, the biggest thing is I think the NFL needs to start rethinking some of this and try to find a way to stop with the stuff like the 15-minute questions. We saw a big controversy erupt this week with Kyler Murray, who was interviewed for 15 minutes, and one former GM, Charlie Casserly, said that he's talked to a bunch of people and they said he did terrible on that. And that affects millions of dollars possibly in his pocket because of that. My final point is, this is a spectacle. It's a spectacle that draws viewers, and as long as it draws viewers, it is here to stay.
Yeah, I agree. And to answer your second question, I'm going to go with a bear, primarily because they're really fast, they're really strong, and they have dangerous claws. And if you want to know how tough a bear is, ask Leonardo DiCaprio. He'll tell you, you don't want to mess with a bear. And to answer your first question, I think that this is sort of what's happening now with leagues trying to become year-round sports and to keep the dialogue going around your league so that you don't ever lose interest and so you always stay engaged with what's going on. And I think it helps with the ratings, it helps with the fan connection, and I think this is just going to happen with every sport. As eventually baseball will figure this out too, because I think one of the things that happens to baseball is that once the season ends, you just forget about it until spring training. But NFL, NBA, they're starting to figure out that as long as you keep fans talking about your product, the more you build up anticipation for it to actually hit the field, and then you get those booms, and that's why you see these players getting paid these insane sums of money. I get it that, you know, it's probably overkill, but I also understand that this is what's the beast you have to deal with now.
Yeah, and I have to admit that even though I hate it and I hate myself for it, I do actually find the combine to be entertaining television.
And who was a kid that ran the 40 time and, like, broke down and cried? And, like,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of stuff that moves you because you realize that these guys have been dreaming about this moment. And if you have, you know, a special event, it just pushes you over the edge. You feel like this guy made it, you know, even before the draft. And I think that's the kind of stuff that pulls at people's heartstrings.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Michael Lee of The Athletic and ESPN's Ryan Smith. Thanks to both of you.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks. I'm going to go race a cheetah now.
If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to Only a Game on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. That way, you'll never miss a minute of our show. We'll be right back with Charlie Pierce. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game NPR.